Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hi, Dee, once again.
Hi, Tom.
It is Catholic Vitamins with the Deke and the Dee.
And this is Catholic Vitamin T.
For?
Thankfulness.
We didn't have any correct guesses on this, but that's all right. We are thankful for anyone who listens to Catholic Vitamins.
Exactly, exactly. It was up to episode 332.
We are thinking about things that give us gratitude, and one of the pursuits that I would share with our listeners, Dee, is the church, the sacraments, the beautiful liturgies that we experience from time to time, the ones that really move our heart and soul. And then you had a birthday. We have an anniversary coming up, and I am so thankful for both of those in our life, our walk.
We jokingly, at this stage of our life, say, you know, we don't want to have any more birthdays, but the alternative is, yeah, I'm thankful I'm having a birthday.
Thank you. Yes, I am as well. I am as well. Did you have a nice birthday?
I had a nice birthday.
What is the pause and the laugh? What is that about? What? You didn't have one?
I did.
Well, why was...
But...
Go ahead.
But it's funny to us. I don't know if it's funny to anybody else.
What's that?
That I'm married to this big spender.
Oh, gosh. Are you going to get into that, huh? I took you to a place for breakfast after Mass.
And let's start out the morning. So I get up. You bring me coffee.
Yes, I did. In bed.
And I, when I woke up, there was a card sitting beside my bed.
Yes, I know
really
that.
A really nice card. And then later, after I went out to reheat my coffee, I think, or get some more to eat or something. And there was another card.
Uh-huh.
And what else did... Oh, no. I went out to the car. When I went out to the car...
All right.
I'm in the car to get ready to go to church.
We're on the air here, so
yes, I know. Well, I was getting ready to go to church that morning. And
yes.
I went out to the car to put something in the car. And I opened the car door, and there was another card.
Really?
And Reese's peanut butter cups. And a little tiny pie. A little miniature pie.
Are you talking about one of those little 75
yes.
cent or oh, really? Yes. Now I know the guy that gives you these things is a big spender.
So, but it made me smile.
Uh-huh.
And so that we went on with our day. And after Mass, we went to Denny's.
I was going to mention the place, but go ahead.
With a coupon for a free Grand Slam for my birthday.
Which I wound up eating.
You ate most of it, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think this is enough misery for...
No, I'm not done.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then we came home.
Yes.
And after doing some stuff downstairs, I came upstairs to go to my computer, and I walked in, and on top of my computer was another card.
Oh, really?
Another little pie.
Another 75 cents. So we have two 75-cent pies, three cards, and...
So that, folks, is my big spender husband, but it was fun.
Me
laugh.
Did you not have a nice gift card in the nice card?
Oh,
that you...
well, that's right. I'm sorry.
All right.
Oh, gosh, I'm slighting you here. Yes, in that first card, in that nice card when I woke up, was a gift card to a nice restaurant here in town.
All right. Well,
which we may turn around and use for our anniversary.
Yes.
Because that's only a couple days after my birthday.
So, dear friends, we... are thankful for so many wonderful things in our spiritual life. We're thankful for each other. We are thankful for the experiences that we've had that have helped us in our faith walk. I've asked Dee to think about anything that she might think of as being something important in her life, and we'll get to that maybe in another segment. For myself, when I was thinking about this vitamin of thankfulness, I was thinking about what would I say that I'm thankful for? Besides D, besides our marriage and our children, family, and the faith, of course, well, another thing would be, what have I experienced that has been helpful to my faith walk? And Franciscan University has been something that you know has mm-hmm. been very important. And so we've decided to make this show a note of thankfulness for each of us, and to share some Franciscan voices, and we'll get to them rather than having a featured guest on this show. Dee, I think that's about enough for our first segment.
Okay.
And I just want to say that instead of a music bridge this time, I'm going to share something kind of nice. We have someone from Catholic Answers who was kind enough to do a promo for our new Catholic, well, our one-year-old Catholic radio station. And just by way of sharing with our listeners, here is Trent Horn.
All right, we're going to learn some scriptures today. And we're going to start with our first scripture about why do we memorize scripture? Because it's God's word. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. And this is our Lord's teaching. Can you sing that for me? Ready, go.
All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching.
Hi, this is Trent Horn from Catholic Answers. You're listening to the voice of Catholic truth in the Arizona Rim Country, KPIH 98.9 in Payson. And please look for my newest book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties.
Timothy 3:16, and this is our Lord's teaching. One more time. Ready, go.
Well, we're up for segment number two. Dee, what are you thankful for?
Well, one of the first things that came to my mind was health.
Well, yes.
I just had a birthday.
Yes.
So that means I'm healthy enough to have lived another year. We do have our aches and pains. We do have minor problems. But when I look around me, I'm so thankful that I'm still able to get out and hike and thankful for the things that we're able to do together.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for that. Dee, it's time for us to move on in our format for the show, and you were mentioning our giveaway books.
Hot off the presses. This is week three that we're promoting these two books. We'll be giving them away next week.
I'll do one, you can do the other.
Okay.
So I have in my hand Father Andrew Apostoli's Answering the Questions of Jesus. What do you say that I, who do you say that I am? That's an example of the question that Father tackles in the book. How about, woman, what concern is this to you and to me? Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Will you also go away? These are questions of Jesus. And Father Andrew answers this in his book from EWTN. We have a copy of this, and we have a copy of...
The other book is also from EWTN Publishing, and it's called Crossing the Goal, A Saint Goes Marching On. This was written by Danny
Abramowitz. Yes, thank you, yeah. All right.
How'd you pronounce it?
So this is an update to his book, which has been around for a while, Crossing the Goal. It's got a lot of nice endorsements on it. So if you're interested in either of these books, absolutely free, just send in an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. and say Jesus Questions or Danny Book, and we'll know what you're after. And what happens is that at the end of the three-week period of promoting these books, Dee will reach into her basket of right. guesses.
We'll give one or both of them away next week and try to introduce two new ones if we can.
All right. Oh, yeah. We've got loads of books coming in from publishers. We absolutely do.
Speaking of books...
Yes. Oh, well, thank you for pointing that out.
We got a nice surprise in the mail this week. You got a nice surprise in the mail this week.
I have in my hand the Living Gospel Daily Devotions for Lent 2017. Who in the heck would be talking about Lent 2017?
You got to prepare early.
This is a book from the wonderful folks at Ave Maria Press. And for some reason or other, they made a typographic error and they put the author as Tom Fox. And so I have a small book of meditations, reflections for each day of Lent 2017. And I think what we'll do, Dee, is if I can remember this, if you can remember it, starting the first of the year, once a week, we'll give away a copy of The Living Gospel, Daily Devotions for Lent 2017 by Ave Maria Press.
I'm making a note right now.
All right. So maybe if you would try to stick around with Tom and Dee. I think we had a nice email from somebody recently that said that they've been around for a while. And do you have any, I know you're writing something right now, so do you have any sharing to do from listeners at this moment, or are you not ready yet?
I don't have any feedback.
Okay, all right. Well, that's all right.
Other than that, we did have a nice note from Colette out in Hawaii.
Oh, yes, absolutely wonderful. She's been nice. She did a promo for Catholic Vitamins a while back, and I think we used it recently on the show.
She let us know that in 2017, they are going to be in Arizona.
Yes, that's right.
So we have got to try to see if we can get together and meet her.
All right, so the idea of Franciscan voices and thankfulness expressed by Tom, at least, if not by Dee, who sees the benefit of my going to Franciscan, is to share some of the voices that I've heard at Franciscan. And the first one is Sister Bridge McKenna. We've played her before. I've seen her in person at Franciscan University, and I have part of her talk to the Charismatic Conference in 2007. And this is a part of her talk on being a witness to Christ. The official title, in case you're really fired up by this, is You Shall Be My Witnesses, Healing and Empowerment by Sister Bridge McKenna. So we'll do that, and we will be back.
Thank you. Father Michael, I'd just like to make one slight correction. Bridge is the Gaelic for Bridget. It's an Irish name. What a beautiful holy hour. I just thank the Lord for the gift that we have. This is the privilege that I have with Father Kevin Scallon to travel all over the world with to minister to priests and bishops and to see these huge Eucharistic healing services in stadiums and to know what we have. Tomorrow I'm going to be speaking on the Eucharist. Tomorrow's the feast of the body and blood of Christ. But tonight I'm going to share with you on the commandment, the commission that every single one of us received. And we wouldn't be here if the people before us and the people maybe sitting beside you or the charismatics didn't do what Jesus said when he said, go into the whole world and proclaim the good news to all creation. And he said, you shall be my witnesses. Jesus also said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And he said, go therefore, make disciples of all mankind, of all creation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're here. And so I'd like you for a moment to pray with me that I will just let Jesus minister and he has something he wants to say to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful mission. We thank you, Jesus, that you have chosen us, poor, creatures that we are, sinners, and yet made tabernacles because you have made your home in us. You sent us your own Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and just set a fire that we again will be great witnesses. Come, Holy Spirit, and just anoint our lips, our words, anoint our hearts. Just fill us with such a joy, this joy that is the perfume of your Spirit, the presence of your Spirit, that we will become living witnesses to you, Jesus. And we ask you, Mary, Mary, you who said, do whatever he tells you. Mary, please help us as a mother to forget about ourselves and to let Jesus do in and through us what he wants to. I ask you, Pope John Paul, you who we know, you lived every moment of your life from your youth, witnessing and preparing and saying yes, so that you could be used in such a powerful way, up to the very moment that you breathe your last. Intercede for us that we may continue to evangelize in this world as you taught us. Amen. Now, to be a witness, I'd like to just reflect with you on three very important ingredients to be a witness. And the first ingredient, the first important, it's like baking a cake, the ingredients we need to be witnesses for Jesus is personal holiness, is to love Jesus, we know that, is to be convinced. The second is to be committed to truth, to believe in his teachings, I'll speak about that. And the third ingredient is openness and zeal, being a fool for Christ, not being afraid. So let's look at the first one. We know, brothers and sisters, that the most powerful way to witness is through a life that is holy. And when you say to yourself, what is holiness? Holiness isn't external. It's not what I do externally. Because as you know, brothers and sisters, we're on two journeys. We're on a physical journey. From the moment we were conceived, we began a journey. From the moment we were baptized into Christ, we began also a journey. And simultaneously, these two journeys, these two pilgrimages, are, you see, we see the little baby growing, and after baptism, we know that the church calls you to foster and to you know, encourage and to bring this little child into fruition in this beautiful union and communion with Jesus. Church is always saying that if you're going to have your child baptized, what a responsibility to nurture and to help the little child to grow, its soul to grow, to form the conscience, to teach. And as we get older, we keep growing physically, and we have to nurture our inner lives. And I often say to, because, you know, I work a lot with priests, and this is one of the things I say to them, and I say to lots of you are married, many of you are, you know, maybe contemplating it, many of us are religious, that on the day we get married, or the day we make our vows, or the day we get ordained, it's very easy to come here, you know, and to say to Jesus, you know, I really commit my life to you. But unless every single day we come to Jesus in prayer, come to our, if you're married, if you spend time with your spouse, you grow into each other. Sometimes it's difficult. In my own experience, you know that this day, 46 years ago, I entered the convent. Could you believe it? 46 years ago today. And you know, brothers and sisters, I was only, now you're not going to know how old I am. I entered the day before my 15th birthday. And I was professed at 16. I took vows when I was 16 years of age. Can you believe it? Now, at that time, yes, my journey had started. But, you know, I never thought much about it. I did all the things I was supposed to do. I said all my prayers. I kept all the rules. And I did everything that I felt was the right thing to do. Until the Lord showed me, and thank God, Al reminded me when I was getting up, you know, that it was through the charismatic renewal and conferences that I came to where I am, and it's true. Because it was when the Lord showed me in Orlando, you know, it led up to it, that my inner life and my outer life were not really married. I wasn't interiorly, it was as if, you know, they hadn't met. They weren't in complete harmony. And that's what Jesus showed me, and that's what the baptism of the Spirit does. When people get baptized in the Spirit, you know, their inner life and their outer life become so powerfully blended together. Jesus just puts us together. And what holds us together is, what holds these two journeys is a life of prayer.
Love, and I know many people love Sister Bridge McKenna. I'm actually sorry that we only played a portion of her talk. You can find all of the speakers' talks from the summer conferences at Franciscan University by going to the bookstore link and ordering whatever you would like. In her talk, at the beginning of her talk, she mentioned a beautiful holy hour, and every time I go to Franciscan, we're always blessed to have one or more hours of adoration over the week that I'm there. She, Sister Bridge, issued a challenge to all of us, words from Christ that we're to be his witnesses. And she called us to personal holiness and to truth and an openness and zeal in our lives. I love it when Sister Bridge says, don't be afraid of being a fool for Christ. And she ended where we cut off by saying that we need to live a life of prayer. That kind of reminds me, Dee, of you and I praying together every evening. We do pray together.
Yes.
And one of the things that we've recently added to our evening prayer together.
Right. Is our daily exam.
We do the examine of conscience. And before we do our intentions, we go over our list of prayer intentions that we have been given, and we right now have a long list of people that we're praying for.
We do.
For heaven's sakes.
We do.
For heaven's sakes,
like,
how's that?
What is happening in our world?
So Dee and I were doing a little research for Married for Life, our segment that we are doing regularly on Catholic Vitamins, and we found a prayer for spousal unity. Dee, do you want to start this off?
I will. Prayer for spousal unity, O God. By your power you have made everything out of nothing. In the beginning you created the universe and made us in your own likeness. You gave man the constant help of woman so that man and woman should no longer be two, but one flesh. And you teach us what you have united may never be divided. Lord Jesus, look with love upon us in our life together as husband and wife. We ask your blessing to live with each other in peace and harmony.
May we always bear with one another's weaknesses and grow from each other's strengths. Help us to forgive one another's failings and grant us patience, kindness, cheerfulness, and the spirit of placing the well-being of one another ahead of self. May the love that brought us together grow and mature with each passing year. Bring us both ever closer to you through our love for each other. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So that will be our Married for Life segment, and part of this is brought about by our thankfulness that our marriage has lasted for all of these years. Oh, my heavens, Dee, more than I can count on two hands. How about that? And
as we speak, in 24 hours, it's going to be 52 years.
Oh, my heavens, you've said it out loud. Oh, my heavens. Yes, we've been married a long time, struggling through thick and thin, and I'm thankful for the gift of Dee. Well, the other gift that I'd like to share, the Franciscan Voices gift that I'd like to share, is the most popular professor, voted the most popular, is John Bergsma. He's a doctor, a PhD doctor, and he's a professor at Franciscan University. I've listened to him speak many times. Every time has been a joy and a learning experience. He put out a two-CD set called Mass Conversion, How I Discovered the Eucharist and the Catholic Church. And it's a wonderful journey of a good and holy Protestant man, the son of a Protestant pastor. And he'll tell you about that in the segment that I picked to share with you. It's at the beginning of his talk. But it'll also tease you for the beginning of his journey to the Catholic faith. And that's where we'll stop that talk by Professor Bergsma. Mass Conversion. So here he is.
Okay, let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we just pray that what we talk about this evening will be edifying for us all and will be to your greater glory. We thank you for the gift of salvation through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the gift of your church, which guides us in the understanding of your word and feeds us with your very body and blood and ministers to us on your behalf through the sacraments. We thank you, Lord. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dad was a Navy chaplain, and I grew up in military chapels. Now, one of the interesting things about military chapels is the liturgical furnishings that the military produces. They tend to be double-sided. They've got a Protestant side and a Catholic side. And I can remember very clearly when I was a little kid sitting in the Navy chapel where my dad had just preached a sermon and led a worship service, sitting there watching as the religious program specialist, that's what they called him, be a sailor trained for this kind of thing, would come out and strike the set. He'd strike the Protestant set and set up for Catholic Mass. And usually there'd be a Catholic Mass early and a Catholic Mass late, and sandwiched in between would be our Protestant service. So I'd sit out there watching him set up for the Catholic service, and he'd go through and they'd have the altar cloth, which would be very plain for the Protestant service. He'd flip it around, it'd be ornate, and there'd be iconography over it. You know, there'd be something on what we would call the ambo now, you know, like a little tapestry there, and I would just have an unadorned cross for the Protestant worshiping, flip it around, it would have a Cairo or something like that for the Catholic worship. The most dramatic thing I remember is one time watching the religious program specialist go up to the altar and grab the cross, this big gold cross on a pedestal, plain, unadorned, said IHS in the middle of it. He grabbed that thing and flipped it around in my presence. And on the back was a crucifix. And he was setting up for Mass. And I sat there looking at that. Oh! All this time, that's been on the back. And I didn't realize it till now. But the story I'm going to tell tonight, I feel like that cross, okay? I feel like in the process of my coming into the Catholic Church, God grabbed me, flipped me around, and revealed a Catholic side that in a sense had always been there. And yet I never knew it was there. I never knew it was part of who I was, part of what God wanted me to be. Well, I was born, as I said, son of a Navy chaplain, born on a Sunday, January 17th, 1971. My dad dropped my mom off at the hospital and went to preach. And when he came back, there was I. My dad was literally preaching when I came into the world. On a Sunday. The denomination that we belonged to was Dutch Reformed, a branch of Calvinism. People sometimes ask me what Dutch Reformed is. I usually tell them it's something like Presbyterianism, only everybody's Dutch. So think Presbyterian, only wooden shoes, windmill cookies, Wilhelmina peppermints, and so on. And that's basically Dutch Calvinism. That's the kind of background that we were from. I had four older siblings. My family, my extended family, was a clergy family. Two of my uncles, as well as my father, were all in the Dutch Reformed ministry. Myself and my four brothers, we all went into college studying for the ministry, what we called the pre-seminary track. Two of us made it through that track and actually went into the seminary. What was my growing up like? Well, we were a devout home. It wasn't a superficial thing. It wasn't a hypocritical thing. My parents believed what they taught, what they confessed. Okay, so we prayed at home. We read scripture after the evening meal, typically. When I was about 8 years old, I even prayed what we called the sinner's prayer. Now, the sinner's prayer is not something that's part of Dutch Calvinism. It's more something that's part of American evangelicalism. But the sinner's prayer is this prayer where you confess your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Okay, and that marks, for most American Protestants, that marks your conversion. Okay, it's not the reception of a sacrament, but it's praying the sinner's prayer. Well, in Dutch Calvinism, we were more Catholic in that way. We had the sacrament of baptism, and then later we had something they would call a profession of faith. We didn't do a lot with the sinner's prayer. But all my friends, they were all sinner's prayer kind of people. And so there was this big pressure on me when I was a little kid to pray the sinner's prayer, you know. So finally at age 8, I was like, wow, I should do this thing. And I prayed to ask Jesus into my heart. And that's what we as Catholics would call a spiritual communion. And I had an experience, you know. I had a filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, that wasn't the first time Jesus had worked in my life. I'd been baptized as an infant. But it was a profound experience, and I embraced that, okay? Like I said, I would regard that as an act of spiritual communion. And I make those kind of acts. Even today, you know, might pass a parish and make a spiritual communion. Oh, Lord, I wish to receive you, etc., with the purity, humility, and devotion of your Holy Mother, etc., something like that. Well, I always enjoyed church growing up. I would take notes from my dad's sermons. My mom started me reading the Bible at age 12. We had this thing called the Daily Walk. It was a monthly magazine that had the scripture laid out for you in daily readings for 365 days of the year. And if you followed it through, you'd read through the Bible once each year. So I started doing that when I was about age 12. I didn't keep it up with perfect consistency, but I estimate that by the time I got done with high school, I probably read through the Bible three times, you know, from front to back, Genesis through Revelation, based on that practice. So I really I appreciate my mom having done that. While I was in high school, which took place for me in Hawaii, God bless my youth pastor at the evangelical church that we attended there, because there was no Dutch Reformed church nearby, and the Navy Chapel wasn't a very great spiritual experience. So we went to an evangelical Baptist church nearby Kaneohe Marine Corps Air Station in Kailua, Hawaii. And my youth pastor took me and two other guys from the youth group aside, and he started what he called personal discipleship with us. okay, personally mentoring us, giving us stuff to read, meeting with us every couple of weeks and talking about our prayer life and our virtues and purity and holiness and these kind of things. God bless them for doing that, because it instilled in me a desire for discipleship and an awareness that this is what Jesus did with his own apostles. He discipled them one-on-one. This is what the apostles did with their immediate followers. This is what Paul did for Timothy. And it continued down through the church. And from that experience, I got a model of the church where everybody is in relationship of accountability, where everyone has what we would call a spiritual director, okay, where everyone is in the process of discipleship. I saw that as the ideal for the church, and that has always stuck with me. Well, I did well in school. I had a lot of options when I graduated, but what was impressed firmly on me was the sense that God was calling me to the ministry. God was calling me to be a preacher. So I threw my other plans, you know, I was thinking about physics, I was thinking about being a physicist or going to MIT, or the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute was offering me a free ride in New York and, you know, going being an engineer or something like that. But when it came down to it, the call of my heart was to follow after my dad and to serve the church. So that's basically my upbringing. Now, I want to step back for a moment and talk about three things that I think are pertinent. The experience with Catholicism of my father, of my mother, and of myself during this growing up period. Okay, so let's start with the experience of Catholicism that my dad had. My dad was a Navy chaplain, and as a Navy chaplain, he encountered a lot of priest chaplains. He developed a good rapport with them because the priests were theologically trained and articulate, and so was he. The seminary training in the Dutch Calvinist tradition was very good. So he had a lot in common with the priests. A lot of the evangelical chaplains who were in the Navy did not have much academic training at all. Okay, maybe a year or two, and then they got ordained and went into Navy. And if you tried to talk to them about doctrine, about sacraments, about church history, kind of a blank there. Okay, but my dad and the priests, they got along pretty good. In fact, one priest in particular, a priest by the name of John O'Connor, this priest became a very good friend of my dad. Eventually, this priest became chief of U.S. Navy chaplains. When John O'Connor, Father O'Connor, was chief of the U.S. Navy chaplains, my dad was one of his staff officers, and they became very close. They worked together in Washington, D.C. for about a year, year and a half. At that point, Father O'Connor retired from the Navy. At his going away party, he gave my dad all his old Navy uniforms because they were the same size physically. And he figured my dad could use his uniforms. He was going back into the priesthood for a diocese in the U.S. Well, he left the Navy, went back into the regular priesthood in his diocese, and was quickly appointed Bishop of Scranton. And shortly thereafter, Cardinal Archbishop of New York, okay, John Cardinal O'Connor. When he was appointed Cardinal Archbishop of New York, he gave my dad a call and invited us, our family, to his installation service for religious. The day prior to his formal installation, there was a service for religious the previous day, so we were invited to that service. And I remember that clearly because I was the only kid left in the house. I was about 12 years old. All my brothers and sisters had gone to college. So here we are heading up to New York to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And my dad is in his navy dress blues. And my mom is in this elegant floor-length black evening gown. And we walk into St. Patrick's, and the nave of the church is filled with religious and clergy from the Archdiocese of New York, all in black. And I am wearing a bright green corduroy sport jacket. And they seat us in the center. And so I'm like glowing, I'm throbbing. And it's like, boom, 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 green, green, you know, in the center of the biggest church I'd ever seen in my life. Anyway, I didn't understand much of what was going on, but it was very impressive. And I remember that well. But my dad had a high respect for priest chaplains and a respect for Catholicism. My mom, too, had a special relationship to the Catholic Church, but it was a different story.
amazed, I love to look upon your face, so resplendent with amazing grace. And though at times you'll try to hide it in disgrace, I will always love you. 'Cause in your eyes I see a soul that longs to dance. I'm captivated by a single glance, and when you look my way, I don't stand a chance. I will always love you. Like a mother to a child, like a husband to his bride, I wanna hold you in my arms. Like a father to his son, I wanna teach you. When I'm done, I wanna keep you safe from harm. Like an eagle with its wings, teach you to soar, teach you to sing, so we can sail out to the dawn. You've got such beauty inside, I cannot help but wonder why. Are you amazed? I love to look upon your face. So
well, I enjoyed the tease that we did on the two CD set, Mass Conversion by Dr. John Bergsma, How I Discovered the Eucharist and the Catholic Church. You could tell at the beginning of his talk, you know, what it means that he was a good Protestant man doing a good faith walk. And we played just the beginning tracks from his talk. He shares in a joyful way with humor, but also a very convincing way about how he and his wife came into the Catholic Church.
And Dr. Bergsma is going to be...
Thank you for reminding me. Yes, he's going to be at the men's conference in Tucson next weekend. Of course, we never know when our listeners will be.
Saturday, November 5th.
Right, right. But if you happen to be in the southern part of Arizona or flying into Arizona for any reason, Saturday, November 5th, Dr. John Bergsma will be speaking at the Catholic Men's Conference.
And another men's conference, which I will give one last plug for. We have done this on previous podcasts, but the New Evangelization for the New Millennium Conference is Saturday, November 5th, and this is in Monroeville, Pennsylvania. And there are a lot of good speakers for that one, too. Peter Herbeck's there.
Well, just as a side note, since we're talking about speakers, I teased in the homily that I did at church this weekend, Masses, excuse me, that Jesse Romero is going to be speaking in our community.
That's exciting.
It
in
is.
December.
Yeah, in December. December 10th and 11th. So if you have any reason that you're flying into Arizona, into Phoenix...
So we'll we'll plug that again on the podcast for any listeners who are here in the Arizona area.
All right, I think we're ready to do the wrap on our show. What is our next vitamin D?
Catholic vitamin U, ends in G, 11 letters.
You mean that you folks go through the alphabet from A to Z?
We do.
Nourish your faith from A to Z?
We do.
Do you have any idea how many times we've been through
alphabet? I think we've done it at least a dozen times.
Gosh, sometimes our words are a little bit of a stretch, but we hope you will stretch to increase your Catholic faith and grow stronger.
That's something our pastor asked me about this morning.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What did he say?
How many times have we done this through the alphabet?
Oh, gosh.
How long have we been doing the podcast?
All right, dear friends, I think that is it for a wrap. We want to thank Bob Rice for providing some music from Franciscan University. We want to thank Dr. John Bergsma. We want to thank Sister Bruce McKenna and the Office of Summer Conferences for allowing us to use some of their material. And we look forward to joining our listeners next week on Catholic Vitamins.
And take advantage of these things that we've been trying to give away, the books we've been giving away, and take a guess at the vitamin and send it to catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
If you have anything interesting, challenging, or... loving going on in your marriage relationship, we'd like to hear from you as well.
Definitely.
Blessings.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.